As I said a moment ago, it's my privilege to introduce my dad, Al Funk, to you. Come on up. Why don't we stand and welcome him? Just stand up, give him an applause as he comes. Just remain standing. I'm just going to pray. You used to always have to give me your pulpit, so it's the other way around today, but let's pray. Father, thank you so much for my earthly father that he can come and share with us today. Thank you for the word that you've given him. Pray you bless it. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Pastor Dave. It's an honor to be here today. And for many years, he was known as Al Funk's son. And over time, that has changed, and I am now Dave Funk's dad. And not quite sure what happened there, but, you know, it may have something to do with age and all of that kind of stuff. But it's a privilege to be here. We pastored in Osoyoos, and I remember when this church was only, was it this direction or was it this direction? This way? I remember when it was this way. The old A-frame style church, and then there was this great big project where they added the two wings and put the blue benches in. I remember that. And so it's a privilege to be here and to be with you this morning. I want to fit in with your summer challenge, and so when Pastor Dave talked to me and asked me about if I would do this today, he said something that speaks about the summer, that something we can work on, something we can participate in, something that can... The first thought that came to my mind was actually this thought, and I want to share forgiveness. The challenge of forgiveness. To use this lightly, you know how sometimes people, you know, you see something on television and it says, forgiveness, don't try this on your own. Because forgiveness is such a huge, if we allow it to. So let me read our text. It's from Matthew chapter 18. For the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. He could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to you. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should forgive you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. I wish he hadn't added that last line a little bit sooner. But really, that's the challenge for us, isn't it? God has forgiven us. This is really the essence of the gospel. This is the central theme of the gospel, and we think of what the gospel is all about. It's about forgiveness. It's about the fact that God sent Jesus into the world of all of our sin. It really speaks to us of the fact that to God, that he has taken all of our sin, nailed it to a cross, and because... But that's not the end of the story. Having been forgiven, we lay as we extend the same forgiveness to others that we ourselves. Do you remember singing that song years ago? Freely you've received, freely give. Okay, don't make me do it because I don't know if I can do it still. But there's this idea that now our responsibility is to pass that on, hurt us, to the people who have offended us. And when we are forgiven, it sets us free of others as well. So let's look at some of this idea for place in forgiveness. And I think some of these notes will be on the screen. The person up there behind the or point is to understand that we are recipients. Or it makes it easier for me to forgive others. A number of years ago, what is called Pay It Forward, something like that, and it was, they were supposed to pass that on. They were supposed to do it for others. But to recognize for us an understanding our forgiveness. If we go into this story in Matthew chapter, who owed someone else 10,000 bags of gold. Now, I don't, just for fun, let's say there's an ounce of gold in a bag of gold, okay? Just 1,000 ounces. I looked up the price of gold the other day. It was $1,708, and I think that works out to $17 million, right? If I'm correct, $17 million. Now, how would you like that debt hanging in the bed? And you think, I got to go to work today because I owe somebody 17. That'd keep you going really excited all through the day. $17 million today, wouldn't it? That would depress me. But he sees his boss on the street one day, and his boss says, look, you got to pay it back. And he says, I'll forgive it. Now that would make your day. The guy he owed $17 million to, he's walking down the street, coins. Now, I don't know what a silver coin is worth, but or 10,000 bags of gold, 100 silver coins is nothing. And he grabs him by the throat, and he starts to choke him, and he says, pay up. Or if you put somebody in jail, they're going to be able to pay. Okay? Any time. And he refuses to give him time. Using that just as an extreme example, because he's saying the debt that you pay to pay for it yourself. The debt of sin that we owe is so great. God do with our sin? He forgives it. He releases us from it. Is he comes himself into this world in the form of Jesus Christ, and he dies on a cross. Debt had to be paid, but he took it on himself, and he paid it himself. And that solves when we forgive. If I break Pastor Brett's guitar and I go, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. He has to pay, don't they? He pays because he forgave me. And in turn, that releases us that was paid on our behalf. Ephesians 2, 1 to 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. But because I'm with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace you have been. Jesus died on the cross for a reason. And in that death, God was. And if you're going to think about whether or not to forgive others, think first of all, never forgive that person. What if Jesus said that to us? What if? But he didn't say that. He has wiped all of our debt away, all of our and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God. See, the way Christ did it is the way we think about the fact that God has done this for us. Someone are the most like God when we forgive. If you want to be like God, if you want to be like Christ, forgiveness is the most like him, what we're supposed to do. And we'll talk about that a little later. So what does forgiveness accomplish? What is it that forgave us? What happens when we forgive? Well, first of all, when we forgive from the pain and the grief of the circumstance, the New Testament release to hurl away, to free yourself from. It means to hang on to it. To no longer, see, the reason we hang on to it, if we go back to guitar, he would probably never do this, but he might hang on to this. And the only thing he has left is his bitterness. This is it. He has nothing. He doesn't have a guitar, and he can't hold it over my. So to forgive means to release, to hurl it away, to. The word resentment, we can to feel again. And when we resent something, we feel it again. When we let resentment build up in us, that's what happens. And that grief is to forgive. You see, forgiveness is actually a very selfish act on our part. Give, we bear the pain. Have you ever had one of these situations where, and you have been upset at them for years, and they've been going long in life, happy-go-lucky? When you forgive, you release that pain. You release it, you. in New York City, a lady named Victoria Ruvolo was heading home after having attended her great evening out, and she was getting ready for a relaxing evening. She never saw the Nissan coming toward her, never saw that he had a 20-pound frozen turkey in his hands. And every day when she wakes up in the morning and looks in the mirror, even a young man did that thing. And she had a choice. She could. 9 months later, a young man named Ryan Cushing, and he was given a 6-month sentence in jail, community service. And people were outraged. All just 6 months, just third her life, but the sentence was Victoria Ruvolo's idea. She sentenced and dismissed and finished the case. She walked from one side of the courtroom and said, "I forgive you. I want your life to be the." You see, she could have hung on to that, and she had every right in the world. But she would have carried the internal pain all those years as well. But when she made this statement to people later. She said, "If I hadn't let go of that anger, forgiving him helps me move on. Forgiving him helps me move on." All of our lives to someone else, we basically are dragging that person around with us everywhere off our back, and we release them and we set them go, set them free. Secondly, it creates the opportunity for the one who is guilty to also be set free. To have a second chance, 20th chances. I don't know about you, but I blow it quite often. I'm really grateful when people give me a second chance, a 10th chance. And the opportunity to have a second chance. It was playing in theaters, and I didn't see it there, but we purchased the DVD of it, and I watched it. Partly because I studied part of that in school. And then a local stage company in Victoria presented it. And if you don't know the story, it's about a man named Jean Valjean who 15-year sentence for stealing a loaf of bread. Kind of, and he learned to survive in prison, and so he didn't have a lot of social graces, and was able to late at night on a rainy night to find a place to stay and so they fed him dinner, and he ate just like, you know, stuff, and then everybody retired to bed, and in the middle of the night, and he took the silver candlesticks, the solid silver candlesticks, stuffed them in his bag. And snuck out of the house. And later, village, they took him back to the bishop's house. They woke up the thing in his possession that belongs to you. And the bishop said that you could have. You see, Valjean had never asked for forgiveness. It's a powerful story. The gospel in that movie was just incredibly clear, and Valjean's life was changed. And he vowed that he would go into the world from there, and he would make a difference everywhere that. When we forgive someone, when we stop holding it over their heads, and for their life to be transformed, for their life to be changed, not just for transformed, to be made new. We offer forgiveness. We offer forgiveness even if people don't want to or can't or say sorry, then I'll forgive them. Forget that. What if he can't forgive? You forgive anyway. Do you want to be in bondage to that person for the rest of your life? It sets you free, but it also see everything God wants. Because you see, this is how God forgave us in Romans chapter 5. We were still sinners. Christ died for us. We didn't ask to be forgiven. And then we responded. Face consequences. It doesn't mean that justice doesn't have to be done through the law. And we give them over. Really, we give them over to God for God to work in their lives. Let me jump forward. Number 3, forgiving is not easy. These books and one of the things Philip Yancey says is, and the pain of being betrayed does not easily fade away. Bonner writes, despite 100 sermons on forgiveness, we do not forgive easily. Always harder than the sermons make it out to be. Okay? And forgiving is way harder than even I experience it just like you do. I'm not different than you. It just means I do something different than you. To 45, it's about Joseph. Remember the spoiled little brother who was sold to the devil of being the second man in the kingdom, and he's responsible for distributing grain during a severe famine, and put him through years of hell, appeared before him looking for food for their family. And you just start to rub your hands, and you think of the people that would come in front of you all those years ago. Now, you wouldn't do that, but some of us do. Whole exercise, and I've never quite understood why. And he says, you know, like, well, come back tomorrow, or still alive. He goes through this whole process, and I don't know exactly what he's all doing with them. But then his silence. And finally in Genesis, no longer control himself before all of his attendants. And he cried out, he says, have made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians, what is going on there? He's weeps so loudly. Is he just so happy to see them? Is what you hear is the sound of a man forgiving. Forgiving's not easy. Bear the cost. Joseph had every right to resent his brother, to release and forgive. And we know that he did because the land to live. We know that he forgave. What we see here in Joseph, Cliff and Wilma Dirksen, they're a Mennonite family from Winnipeg, Manitoba. She'd been abducted, abused, and murdered. And the person who later, can you imagine living with that? That's every parent's worst nightmare. What happened was incredible because they, true to their Mennonite faith, alternative was just too personally costly. Wilma's words here, for me, forgiving has been about turning what has happened to us into mean. You're doing the same thing again and again. The issues of Candace's murder present themselves. Ongoing, ever-present position of the mind, which takes on many different forms. A mantra. Forgiving is never easy because it's... But for Cliff and Wilma, they were content to leave that to the courts because they knew then was forgiveness. And it was the only way forward in their lives. What we can do to move towards forgiveness. Very quick. First of all, acknowledge the need to forgive. That's what we don't acknowledge. Okay? During this sermon, there's been a name or a face come to mind. I just know a face that's come to mind. That may be a person you need to begin. God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. To forgive. Start there. It's on your own, but God has promised to help if you ask him. Maybe you've never taken it to God. God do. He convicts our hearts. You know, we say that dirty, rotten scoundrel, God. I forgive you too. God will never agree with us in those arguments when we come to God and say, you know, that person's a dirt. He just comes to me and says, Al, what am I asking you to do? So go to God and pray. He has promised help. Third, realize that it's a process. Reminded of the offense. Do you know that forgive and forget is not in the Bible? It's at the back, not in the thing in the front. It's just not in the Bible. I will assure you that over time, the hurt from the offense, as and less, until one day that hurt is a memory, but not a memory, but no longer a pain in your life. So commit to being a forgiving. Tempted to take revenge or tempted to pick it up again, say God. And the fourth thing is, and we've mentioned it several times over this morning, just keep as I remind myself that I need to be forgiven, it helps me. having been forgiven, we knew who had been forgiven the huge debt, did not value the forgiveness that had been given to him, demanded of them and refused to forgive. Forgiveness of others is because we don't fully understand the forgiveness that we have. Adjustment in our life, tweak something a little bit, like when you go to the mechanic and your car is running a little rough and he just goes to the very root, the very core. It's a major overhaul. It's a change on the inside is forgiveness. Forgiveness will set you free. Don't you want to be? Forgiveness will also transform the one that you offer it to. Can I pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the forgiveness you have given to us. And today I pray for these who are in front of me. I pray for myself. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand the greatness of the forgiveness we have received and then to offer that same forgiveness to others around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Would you stand? I just want to... Could we pray together? And I think there's a few ways that we need to respond depending on your situation. And I just believe that God has given us power in our words. As he spoke and the universe was created and we're made in his image, he asks us to speak things into being, and sometimes forgiveness is one of those things that we just need to speak. We just need to say it out loud sometimes to get it started, that process beginning. And even if we don't even fully believe it in our heart, if our mouth gets going, maybe things will start to change in our heart. You know what I'm saying? So I think some of us here, there's someone on our mind, like my father said, that has come to your mind, and we just need to say out loud, I forgive so-and-so. We just need to say that. The other thing that God spoke to me as he was finishing up was some of us here are thinking, yeah, you know, I've forgiven people in my life, but I can't forgive myself. And we need a new perspective on that, because if God has forgiven us, and we say, God, I know you've forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. It's kind of like, God, you know, yeah, that's cute. You forgive me, but I'm the one who's in charge here. I'm the one who's going to hold this over me. No, we need to submit our own forgiveness to God. If he can forgive us, we can certainly forgive ourselves. So maybe we need to speak, I forgive myself. So I don't want to necessarily make you say it out loud, because you might be standing beside the person you need to forgive. But would you, as I'm praying, let's all in our heart or just quietly under our breath, and maybe we need to deal with it when we get home, let's just use our voice to say, I forgive. And you name that person or you name yourself. Can you pray with me together? Father, we thank you for the great, incredible word we've heard today. Your word right out of the scripture rings so true to us. Thank you for my father who was so clear in bringing that to us. Bless him, Lord. Encourage him. And God, I pray that we would take this challenge, that we would be people who forgive as an act that proclaims the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus came, he died on the cross to offer forgiveness to all mankind. And we receive that today. And we also pass it on. So right now, all across this room, I pray, God, that people would begin that process of forgiving, that we would name the person, we would name the sin, and even if our heart doesn't fully agree, our mouths would begin to declare, I forgive. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive myself. I forgive. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the gift of forgiveness, that we can be released and we can be those who offer release. We pray you give us the strength to do it in Jesus' name.